This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your own home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
All right, our buddy Brian McKay, we're going to call him up in about 5 minutes. Adam Rank from the NFL Network later in the hour. Would you rather? We will get to that at 6 p.m. Got a bunch of options. Generally, it's two extreme options. You have to pick which one would you choose. Okay?
It's my favorite game.
It's always a great game. So we'll do that in about an hour. You're nervous. I can sense your nerves because of what just went down in here.
No, there's just been a little bit of a snack brought in, and we couldn't get to it before the commercial was over. And there's been certain times where we flipped a bill for the snack, and it gets to us, and there is pebbles left. Crumbs.
And crumbs. Is that what you're expecting this time?
Because
the grappler took, and I saw Al's brother, Twinkle Toes, in there. He did a little moonwalk into the back room.
Smelt it through the wall.
Yeah, there's something going on. Mullen's hungry. Mullen's very hungry.
Yeah, starving.
So there's a chance we don't see even one crumb, let alone multiple crumbs.
By the way, tomorrow, Chinese New Year, we got to call the Mandarin.
I don't see it happening at the Mandarin. But Best Portuguese Chicken, I thought you were calling them. You're trying to lock that in.
I have to call them. I forgot to call today, though, so I don't know if I can do it same day.
Well, I think they can pull some strings for the boys.
Okay.
Because that would be a go-to for the Super Bowl in a week and a half. Lots of options. I mean, I know a lot of people just do pizza and wings. That's very standard. But
hey, Grappler, if you got a connection to BPC, tell them to fire something up, and I'll pick it up.
Yeah, call up Best Portuguese Chicken, because we need that for tomorrow.
Yeah, you make the order. I'll obviously flip the bill for it.
All right, so Brian McCabe is going to join us here in a moment. He may or may not be in St. Louis. Probably not. Like you said, he's more in the player development stuff, and he does a lot of back and forth with junior players and college players. He might be over in Europe, although I doubt he'd be taking our call if he was over there. But we haven't caught up with Caber in a while. And the draft is in Montreal this year. We haven't been to the draft for a couple of years.
He'll be there with his cargo pants on, those just newt-hugging cargos.
He's always
in the red Florida Panther golf shirt.
There is no better look. You know exactly who works for the NHL when the draft is in town.
I have Frady hair, beige cargo pants, and the red Florida Panther t-shirt.
Every single member of the NHL community is wearing a golf shirt that is way too tight.
It's so dumb.
It's such a tight tuck, and they cruise around.
Any president with half a brain would just say, wear whatever you want. Look respectful, please.
Well, that's what they do with the NFL coaching consortium or whatever. They get together every single year down in Miami or in New Orleans, and they take a picture, and it is a disheveled mess. There's 32 NFL coaches. Andy Reid has a Hawaiian shirt on every single year. But they all look like a mess. And I guess they just get together and they're like, we're not going to wear suits or anything. And it's like kind of a coach's meeting or whatever, like GM's meeting, owner's meeting. And they all get together. And then at the end of it, they take a picture, usually two rows, and they all look like disasters.
Like, just wear a suit for that pick, please.
But I kind of like that because they're football guys. They're like, we're not Bay Street guys. We're not Wall Street guys. We're not wearing a suit. Yeah. We're talking about what we're doing here in football.
I always found it weird seeing my coach in street clothes. Like a tight tuck blue jean on the road with brutal shoes and a t-shirt. Because it's usually a nice suit or it's like a sweatpant, like coach gear in the locker room. You never see them wheeling around with tight tuck blue jeans and a belt and just a tight white t-shirt wheeling around Miami. It's almost like you got to look the other way and say, I never saw that.
Yeah, it's an image that you don't want to be taking part in.
Yeah, imagine seeing Pat Quinn in a t-shirt tucked into shorts and mandals. Like, it's an awful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right.
You see anyone in those mandals, those things should all be just lit on fire in one giant circle.
They're hugely popular, though.
You know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking
about. They got brown straps.
Yep.
And they creep halfway up your ankle.
Yeah, they're like checkered, kind of, right? Right? Like they're like a grid. I know exactly what you're talking about.
That is repellent. Those mandals.
Yeah.
If you go away for the first time with your girlfriend and you pull out those mandals, there's a flight returning to wherever you're from. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
Girls can't stand those.
They're really, it's an awful look. They're not even comfortable. Like, I've I don't own a pair, but
yeah, there's like four straps. You know
that's what I know exactly what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
I bet you Caber in Florida has a set of mandals.
Well, here he is, former Maple Leaf and the director of player personnel for the Florida Panthers, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Go ahead, throw that at him.
Caber, are you aware of what mandals are?
I have no idea. I've never heard that term. What is it?
It's like a sandal slash shoe that's brown leather, and there's like four straps that go across.
No,
creep halfway.
Wouldn't catch me. Do you have to wear them with socks?
Some do.
There's a lot of those down here, but I do not personally have a pair.
Do any of your colleagues own a pair?
No, but tons of people in my area, hence the old folks, are wearing them.
Yeah, South Florida is mandal, the capital of the world.
Yeah, just rename it mandal.
I can see O-Dog rocking a pair of mandals with his ugly glasses on, just cruising around Florida with a tank top on.
Why do you think my glasses are ugly? You're so dumb. Like, you text me while I'm on TV, and you're like, your glasses are stupid.
I was horrified by your look. Like, scruffy, hadn't shaved in a week, looked like you crawled out of a dumpster, glasses on.
Yeah, that's right. I got a suit and tie on. My hair can't be all disheveled. Like, it's a professional place. Anyway, let's get an update on the serious stuff. How's the Iafrady skullet cooking? Is it still on point, or is it gone?
Oh, it is so sawdust. I'm still hanging on by a thread, buddy. Still, you're the only friend who's told me I got to shave my head. Everyone else is lying to me.
No, man, I think you go with it.
No, you got to go Messier. That's it.
I wear a hat every day, except when I got to go to work.
Well, we were talking about, like, the reason we brought up mandals was the idea of seeing one of your coaches.
Yeah, because, Caber, don't you agree it was weird to see your coach in, like, street clothes? Because it's usually a nice suit or those track suits they wore. And when you saw them in a brutal pair of jeans with those brutal dress shoes and a tight T-shirt tucked in, it was really weird.
Oh, yeah, the old high-waisted jeans, tuck-tuck, and, like, white socks on with dress shoes on the road. Not a good look.
Yeah, I had to turn the other way because I just couldn't look at it. I couldn't look at it.
Yeah, that would be awkward. And Florida in particular. Like, we love...
That's where they broke it out. The awkward outfit came out in Florida.
Yeah. And, like, Joel Quenneville, is he a legend down there already in Florida? Well, I mean, he's got you guys in a playoff spot through 45, 48 games. He must be picking up legendary status.
I had not met Joel leading up to us hiring him. And obviously, after the first time I met him, I was blown away. He just radiates energy and passion for the game. And he's just such a great guy and just old school type of guy. Like, after I met him, I wanted to, like, strap him on and play for him. That's the type of guy and the impression he made on me. He's awesome.
Yeah, he seems like one of those guys. I mean, the ovation he got in Chicago this week was understandable. He won three cups there, but It seemed like his players, you know, enjoyed it, like, on the opposition, I guess.
Yeah,
you saw
the picture
players.
Of Kane and Taze after the game. They had to stop by and say hi.
Yeah, you know, he's so well-respected. He's such a genuinely good human being, and, you know, I was really happy to see our guy show up and play for him that night and get a big win. You know, I'm sure it meant a lot to him.
With Brian McKay, we had this conversation earlier in the week about different markets in the NHL and keeping your concentration. And you know what it likes to play in Toronto and play in Florida. In Toronto, you're always under the microscope. There's a million media members. You're a celebrity everywhere you go. In Florida, you know, we were talking about how difficult it can be to stay keep your concentration with the ability to hang out in the sun, hang out by the pool, go play golf all the time. Like, did you ever sense a challenge like that where you knew, like, I'm still a pro. You got to play, you got to practice, you got to train. How difficult is that in Florida?
It's tough on young guys, I think, honestly, adjusting from whatever, life in the OHL or wherever, where hockey's hockey and, you know, it's a big market. And then coming down here and, you know, a Tuesday night game against the Carolina Hurricanes and there's 7,000 people in the building and you're supposed to show up and be a pro. It is an adjustment. That's where I think Q comes in with how he has a pulse for the team and holding guys accountable and making sure they're ready. And, you know, he's done a great job of that thus far. We seem to not have had too many blips in the road.
Have you noticed, Caber, that the last couple weeks the importance of the games is kind of fired up with, I mean, you know, the last stretch after the All-Star game, it usually goes by pretty quick. And if you lose points, I mean, it's really big. And you guys have played well of late.
Yeah, we had a great road trip, and you know, we had a really good homestand. We lost one, but then pulled it together and won three in a row. And you know, guys were firing on all cylinders. I'm kind of disappointed we're on break now.
Yeah,
for
no kidding.
Whatever, a week, 10 days, because it seemed like we were finally getting it all going at the same time. You know. You know, we started off a little up and down, but, you know, it seems like the guys have really bought in, got comfortable with Joel's coaching style, and, you know, we're rolling. We're in a great spot. You know, the best spot we've been in a few years here. So we've done our part, but, you know, obviously it's a tight race. Nothing's done yet, but at least we're in a great spot heading into the break, and hopefully we come out firing on all cylinders again like we were.
Did Bobrovsky play back-to-back Haber in the last two games? If he did, that's got to be a positive for you guys, no?
Yes, he did, which is a positive. Obviously, you know, tweaked his back in practice, but has come back and played really well. You know, he's found himself, I think it took him a little time adjusting to a different style here, a different system, and, you know, we're a team that scores a lot of goals, and I think he was coming from a team that played really structured defense with torts and stuff, and he's used to seeing shots from different areas, but, you know, over the past few weeks and month here, he's really pulled it back together and looking like the Vezina goalie of past for sure.
We have Brian McCabe, a former Maple Leaf and currently the director of player personnel for the Florida Panthers. We always talk about Sasha Barkov and how underrated he is league-wide. Whenever we have Pronger on, Pronger is like leading the charge in terms of the fan base, which is understandable. And Prongs loves him. I'm sure you love him as a player. How could you not? But I don't think Huberdeau gets enough love.
Yeah.
Like, he had almost 100 points a year ago, and this year he's doing it again. Like, he is an absolute stud, Caber.
Yeah,
what's he like to watch every night?
Two of them together, honestly, are like, it's special. Not to knock Daddy. Daddy does a lot of the work. He works his butt off, and he's very skilled. I think he's leading our team in goals. But those two guys have a special chemistry that you don't see very often. Obviously, it was funny to see Hubie after he got the big milestone the other day, getting the, you know, Panthers all-time point guy. And they show clips of him from his rookie year, and he was like 160 pounds or whatever, you know, soaking wet, and he's just become a man. And, you know, he's so creative and has unbelievable vision, unselfish player, strong on pucks, all that stuff. And he's really morphed into you know, an elite hockey player at this level.
I was noticing something about Barkov, and it's kind of a useless, stupid fact, but in Minnesota, he scored a goal. Does he have a stick the size of Chara's?
Yeah, it's long. Him and Ecky have, like, the longest sticks I've ever seen. You know, he's a big guy, but he uses a really long stick
yeah.
and a long reach. And to have the mitts that he has playing at the speed he does is that goal he scored, obviously, the other night, Minnie, was
that was
butter.
Ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, that was like a chip shot.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
With that reach, you can just, he was halfway across the rink, and he just chipped it over him like a Pavel Datsyuk move.
Right.
And he had
like
no
he
chance.
He like feathered it, almost. Like, it's up there on TSN 4 now, but that is, like, it's in slow motion.
That's Datsyuk-like, where he just gets the goalie going one way, and you just chip it over him and make him look silly.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah, I don't know if it was last year or 2 years ago when he pulled with a guy all over him at full speed. He did the between-the-legs thing on Carey Price.
Yeah,
you guys remember that one. Like, not many players can do that, going full speed with a guy on their back.
With Brian McCabe, would it mean a little bit more? Would it be more enjoyable if the Panthers get in and the Maple Leafs don't? We'll put you on the spot, Caber.
Oh, I don't really care if the Maple Leafs get in or not. It really doesn't affect me anymore. Obviously, you know, I still have ties to that city, and, you know, I think it'd be a special place for them to win a cup. They deserve one, obviously. But as long as we get in, I really don't care who else does or doesn't. I would pit our team up against anyone, and, you know, we're just hoping to get there and give ourselves a chance.
Well, three more games against Toronto. Last time you guys played, it was men against boys.
Yeah.
That game a couple weeks ago. That sent some shockwaves up here. I'm sure you probably went through a couple of those in Toronto. Big game, and
yeah,
team didn't show up.
Net.
Yeah, that's the one bonus, too, about playing in Florida is sometimes teams come down for 4 or 5 days before the game. I think me and O-Dog have had a couple of those when we were on the lease. And it's a trap, but, you know, they're a high-scoring octane offense. I think we were joking around before the game what the over-under was, you know, for the, you know, because we're a high-scoring team also, and I think we set it at 10 and it ended up at 12. You know, it was just one of those nights where, you know, we caught them sleeping a little bit early and capitalized on our chances and just kept rolling from there.
Well, speaking of that, O always tells the story where he campaigned to Sundin to campaign to Quinn to fly down to Florida after, was it a Saturday night game? Or anyway, yeah, you guys were playing, and instead of flying down the next day, you flew down.
Yeah, it was perfect.
But you never said, you never told us whether or not you guys won that game when you went down there.
Oh, I don't think so. I think we got crushed.
No, come on. We are the best guilty team in the league. Come on,
no,
we're professional.
I know, but we didn't win that game. We won the next one in Buffalo.
Okay. Well, we made up for it.
That's all that matters. 1-1 on the road.
Yeah. We probably made last call at the Elbow Room on that Saturday night, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you fly down quick enough, that's the move. Yeah. All right, Brian, we always appreciate it, buddy. Thank you for doing this. And hopefully we're back at the draft this year. It's in Montreal. So we got to, if we do, we got to get you back on the show around the table.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, fellas.
There he is, Brian McCabe from the Florida Panthers.
One of our favorite guests, friend of the show.
Friend of the show, always one of the best guys to have on. Love catching up with him. Rare player in the league or member of the NHL community that played with both you and Noodles.
And Carlo.
And Carlo, that's right.
And yeah. Johnny.
And Mike Johnson. So a lot of connections to TSN. Yeah. So thanks again to Brian McCabe. Always appreciate that. We're tracking Tiger Woods at the Farmers Insurance Open at Torrey Pines. And last time I checked, he was
2 under.
He was 2 under. And maybe we get Al's brother on that. Just every once in a while, we go to Al's brother and get a bit of an update on. Do you have any updates for us? I know we're putting you on the spot here, Al's brother. But
no, he's mad at us.
Yeah, that's a gutless move by me. I shouldn't do that to you. Oh, he's at 2 under still, through 17. Yeah, I think
we want like kind of Tiger top players, and then we want a slash list, like guys that are slashing it.
Well, I can tell you who's at the bottom of it. Oh, Danny Lee pulled the chute.
He grabbed his glute?
Yeah, his glutes weren't shooting properly.
Firing
properly. Molinari's he shot a 79. He'll be leaving. He's heading back to Italy right after the round tomorrow.
Slamming his trunk?
Yep. Patrick Martin, 7 over through 15.
By the way, that Molinari, he hasn't shot many rounds over 70 in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, he's always in contention.
Always dialed in.
Yeah, always right there. Adam Rank will join us from the NFL Network. We'll start looking ahead to the Super Bowl. And I read something on the Bleacher Report, courtesy of Mike Freeman. Freeman reaching out to a bunch of people in the league. And he wrote, and I guess his take on it was, he's pretty astonished by how many people in the NFL community believe that the Chiefs are going to blow the doors off San Fran. And it's all because of one guy. And you can guess who that is. We'll get into that more.
Andy Reid.
Because of Andy Reid. And what did Robert Kraft have to say about Tom Brady? We'll tell you about that more next. All right, it is your 10th and final chance to win a spot on TSN 1050 Superfan Spring Break and Ultimate Hockey Vacation, courtesy of BookSeats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, 4 nights accommodations, and tickets to the game. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN 1050 and at BookSeats.com. Again, both on Instagram, and go to tsn1050.ca for all the details. BookSeats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. Mandals and everything down in Florida.
Oh, yeah. And the pics are coming in of the mandals. They're horrifying.
Yeah, you and I, we have a different impression of what a mandal is. Like, this guy Cam, I retweeted it. You can find it on Twitter, at HaysTSN. The one on the left, there it is. Up on TSN 4. That is my interpretation of
a
mandal.
Mine is a little bit more sporty, like a flip-flop, but still brown leather. And it's got 4 flaps, and it's trouble.
It sends out a vibe, like, obviously style is not overly important.
The vibe is I've quit.
It's business casual, I guess. Right? No. Because if you have just a sandal on that's like a Nike sandal, then it's more athletic. Those you can walk into almost any restaurant. You shouldn't. A real restaurant with a mandal on throws out a vibe.
But
that,
who can compete? That's people's. That's maybe that's all I got. Who knows?
Well, a good mandal down in Florida can get you a long way.
Yeah. Maybe there's mandal competitions where people enjoy it. I don't know.
So Tiger Woods just wrapped up on 18 at Torrey Pines. Nails a birdie on 18. Finishing the round 3 under. 3 under. Round one, Tiger Woods at Torrey Pines. He has won 8 times there throughout his career.
And what's the top of the leaderboard?
7 under.
That's all he wants, though, because he'll shoot 5 under tomorrow. And you know what? He played the most difficult of the two today.
He played the North course.
Yeah, so the South is going to be where he dials it in.
There he is. He's got the blue shirt, the black hat, feeling it. Like, I guess I always concern myself a little bit with Woods that he's going to get injured again or something's going to pop up. But in terms of his game, I just assume he's going to continue to play well. Right? As long as he doesn't overexpose himself and play too much. And he can get gassed. I mean, that happened last year. He ran out of steam after the Masters. He was never really in contention at any of the majors.
But you got to figure, he went over to Japan, won a tournament, went to the President's Cup, was dominant.
Played really well.
And he's on form in his first round.
Yep. 3 under at Torrey Pines to start things off on a Thursday. Like, it feels like 2020 could be the year of Tiger Woods.
Yeah. Well, you know, if he wins this tournament, odds on favorite to win the Masters, the whole nine.
I think he'd be there anyway. Even if he's in contention this weekend, because he'll play another tournament or two before he gets to Augusta. Like, he'll play Jack's tournament this year, I would think.
Well, that's not.
Or after Arnie Palmer's. I'm thinking the.
Yeah, he plays Arnie's. He's played the Honda a couple years, so it's like it's not that many. It's like two or three more before he gets ready for Augusta.
Right.
I think the Players' Championship is before Augusta now. No, maybe it's after. Anyway, it's a different schedule, but he'll get two or three more, and that's it.
Yeah, but if he's healthy and performs well, he'll be the favorite, I would think, or right there. I mean, who else? Like, Koepka will be in the running, McIlroy will be. It's all the same guys. But if he's healthy and performing, I don't see why you wouldn't expect him to be in contention again at Augusta. You know, the idea of him going back-to-back, that can be a little bit difficult, but we'll see. So there you go. Adam Rank coming up from the NFL Network. He'll join us in a few minutes. I was talking about Mike Freeman's piece in the Bleacher Report.
Overwhelming favorites.
Yeah, according to different executives around the league that he polled and different coaches and assistant coaches, he was overwhelmed by the response that almost all of them said the Niners have no shot simply because of Mahomes. Like, Patrick Mahomes has played himself into a category right now that is borderline unstoppable. And I guess if you talk to Houston or you talk to Tennessee, they probably agree with that assessment. But you look at the Niners, I don't think the Niners are getting enough love because of the way they've been playing. Like, Garoppolo has not factored into the conversation at all, so it's only one quarterback you can really have a read on.
Dude, you know what it's like about that, when the star guy that everyone's talking about, it's like Tiger Woods, the guy we just mentioned, going into a tournament. Nobody talked about Ernie Els or Davis Love or any. They're like, it's just this guy.
I'm just saying, watch yourself. Like, who did we talk about yesterday? Eli Manning. In 07, Mahomes, you can't tell me Mahomes is any hotter or any better than Tom Brady was in 07. Pats were 18-0. Brady threw for 50 touchdowns or whatever that year. And the Giants showed up and said, we're going to pass rush our asses off. We're going to make it difficult on you, and we're going to win the game.
Yeah.
And I don't think this Niners team is any less than that Giants team in 07 or the Giants team in 2010 or 2012, whatever it was when they won their second one. So I guess, like, I get the fascination with Mahomes. I have it too. He's the most entertaining player in the sport.
I just remember going through tape, sitting in rooms saying, Mario gets the puck here or Gretz gets the puck here. You got to go here or there. And then you're out in the ice and guys are just like, I don't know what to do. Like, yeah, I've been told what to do, but I don't know what the hell's going on. And that's what great players do. They create confusion. They get you on off balance, and they crush you.
Yeah, and that's exactly what he has been doing.
Yeah, the teaching element or what you've been told to do as soon as you go on the field or on the ice, it's out the window because they're so gifted, they just find a way to do it.
I would just caution the Kansas City Chiefs and the Kansas City Chief fans that this Niners team, they're better than Tennessee. They're a lot better than Houston. And if you want to play the same game you've played the past 2 weeks, down 24 against Houston, down 10 against Tennessee, I don't think it's going to be a comeback the way we saw the previous 2 weeks, even with how great Mahomes is. This Niners team, they are different, man. They are well-coached. They are nasty. Garoppolo is capable of doing more. He just hasn't had to. Like, that, I think, is, again, the outlier here that isn't being brought up enough. He's not Mahomes. He's nowhere close to Mahomes. But he's not, like, some awful quarterback that they're trying to shield, right? He's not Trent Dilfer. He's not, Johnson in Tampa Bay, where it was all defense, all run game, and they're like, just if we can avoid this guy throwing the ball because he's probably going to turn it over, yeah, we're probably going to win. I don't think the Niners would have a big issue with Garoppolo throwing the ball a lot. I think they have faith in Garoppolo. So,
Well, the KC defense must be thinking, let's look for some balls here, because all they've been talking about is how Garoppolo's got to throw it.
Mm-hmm. Force him to throw. That would be my game plan. But what I'm saying is I wouldn't sell Garoppolo short. I think he can.
Yeah.
Like, and I think he will. I don't see him going off for 400 yards and five touchdowns. If it's going to be a shootout, then I think they're in trouble. Like, they've got to limit what Mahomes is going to put on the board. But just because we haven't seen it out of Garoppolo the past 2 weeks doesn't mean that he can't do it.
Agreed.
And I think the Niners feel pretty good about that, and they probably should. Here's Adam Rank from the NFL Network. Obviously, the hype, Adam, is on Mahomes, and it should be. But do you think we're selling Garoppolo short a little bit because we haven't had to see him do anything the past 2 weeks?
Oh, absolutely. The way that the game plan has worked out for the 49ers, they had favorable matchups against the Vikings and Packers, two teams that I really just didn't anticipate them getting much of a challenge from. And now, obviously, going up against the Chiefs, this will be the best team that they've played, obviously, during the playoffs and quite some time, too, during the regular season. And I know that a lot of people think that Jimmy Garoppolo could end up being a liability, but remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe it was a couple of months ago, in that game in New Orleans, and that's the one I'm always going to go back to, when Drew Brees was up there putting up 40 points against that 49ers defense, Jimmy Garoppolo was there swinging toe-to-toe and ended up winning that game. So I feel like Garoppolo could do it. He just doesn't always need to do it, and I think this is going to be a perfect chance for him. I anticipate this one being high-scoring for sure.
Yeah, I was at the game on Sunday, and Garoppolo did what he was supposed to do. And I credit Garoppolo because
he wasn't doing it with his arm at all.
No, but he was, you know, there were some decoys, and when he had to, you know, he factored in. He made the throws he had to throw. He only threw the ball eight times. But I credit his ego being in check, Kittle's ego being in check, Sanders' ego being in check, because they weren't demanding anything on the sideline. They saw that it was working. And I think that says something about Kyle Shanahan. He's got this engine really chugging in San Francisco.
No, and if anything, the ego on George Kittle is demanding to run the football. I think that guy enjoys pancake blocking more than anything else on a football field, even maybe more so than catching the football. But yeah, they all block well, and I think that the receivers too. I think Deebo Samuel does a really nice job blocking, and they found a nice group of receivers who are talented, but they do enjoy blocking. It reminds me of when Michael Irvin was a wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys and taking pride, or Hines Ward. You know, these guys took as much pride in putting on blocks onto people as they did in catching the football, and that is really one of the reasons why the 49ers have been so successful.
With Adam Rank from the NFL Network, everyone's got a take on Eli Manning and whether or not he should be going to the Hall of Fame. Where do you stand on that?
Well, I think that we can have a debate of whether he should or not. I think it's foolish, though, to think that he's not getting in, because obviously playing in New York, winning multiple Super Bowls, the son of Archie Manning, there's no way he's not getting into the Hall of Fame. Now, if you want to look at his career and his longevity and everything like that, then we can have that conversation. Personally, I think that the Hall of Fame gets a little too caught up in the quarterback position. I think that having the requirement of having to have at least five people every year means that a lot of people can sneak by, and you're kind of just rewarding people who are like, okay, this guy was good, this guy won a couple of Super Bowls. Because when you look at it, when you're being realistic about it, think of the era of which Eli Manning was playing. He was going up against his brother. He was going up against, you know, Brett Favre was there for a little bit as well. He was also going up against Tom Brady, who he obviously beat in the Super Bowls. It's not like you watched Eli Manning and said, you know what, I'm watching one of the best whoever did it. We watched a guy who won a couple of Super Bowls, and that's what it is. But the way that the Pro Football Hall of Fame set up, that's what you're rewarded for. So he's going. I'm not sure that, by my personal estimation, that's of how I judge players, he probably wouldn't get in.
Am I going to be fed up with Eli Manning, Peyton Manning commercials next season? Or be even one cooking for the Super Bowl, I would imagine, somehow, wouldn't there?
Oh, yeah. I'm assuming that Eli's probably had this determined for quite some time, figured out that he was going to be retiring. And I would be shocked if there wasn't an Eli Peyton Manning commercial. Somehow Cooper gets into the mix, throw Archie in there. Maybe the mom gets in. Who knows? We got Arch Manning. I don't know whose kid it is, but there's one of the preps, one of the top high school kids in America, it's Arch Manning, and it's like, oh no, it's starting.
Just Eli keep couldn't rolling bridge over. That.
Oh yeah, Eli couldn't quite bridge that gap, but yeah, there's more generations of them arriving soon.
With Adam Rank from the NFL Network. So there was some video and audio of Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, walking through a crowd and people are yelling at him, are you going to re-sign Brady? Are you going to re-sign Brady? And just before he gets into his car, he says, we plan to, or that's our plan. This is starting to feel like either the most awkward breakup we've seen in sports in a long time or a really extreme game of chicken where neither side really wants to act first. Who has to or who should act first? Why can't one of these sides just come out and say, we are all in and we want this to happen? Whether it's Brady saying, I want to return to New England, or the Patriots saying, here's a blank check, we're dying to have Tom come back.
Yeah, exactly. It's getting annoying at this point. I think we all know a couple that's been together forever. Then every once in a while, maybe you knew them in college or whatever, then they're teasing a breakup. Like, oh, I don't know. Maybe we'll see other people. And you're like, you know what? Shut up. You guys are going to stick together. You're not going. You're not leaving each other. Because what is Tom Brady going to go do? Now, he's not going to go to L.A. and play in a brand new system for the Chargers. He's not going to go over and try to learn. Like, that's the thing. It's like if Josh McDaniels had gone to Cleveland or whatever, like, and there was a system in place that he knew, okay, then maybe I could kind of flirt with the idea of him jumping ship and going to another team. But at this day and age, like, listen, Tom Brady and I were the same age. Like, I don't like changes to my routine. Like, I like everything the same. I'm not going to upend everything just for a few extra dollars. So I think that at some point they're gonna come to a resolution. They're gonna figure it out. But right now you just want to knock their heads together and be like, stop playing around. You're both gonna end up together. Just cut to the chase. Take one out to the dinner or whatever you're gonna do, and just settle this. It's getting frustrating.
Really appreciate the time as always, Adam. We'll do it again down the road.
Thank you so much. The pleasure, as always, was all on this side of the phone.
Thank you. There he is, Adam Rank from the NFL Network. So he's convinced that they're just going to put this aside eventually and they're going to come together, Brady and the Pats. But
first of all, I like that sign-off. I'm going to use that one. What was it? The pleasure was always on this side of the phone.
Yeah, that is very gracious of him.
But I don't think people would believe me if I ever said it.
No, that's...
I don't want to call in.
I'm not sure I believed Adam Rank.
I don't either.
What you would be saying whenever you called into a show. But I do think there's a genuine, you know, conversation to be had in terms of within the marketplace. And we're not there. We're not privy to Boston and New England. But which side has to be more careful with the breakup if that's where it's going?
Yeah.
And I would suggest from afar, it's probably New England. Because, like, Brady is a god. He's a god there.
He is, and who knows where his head is at. Like, is he using this L.A. stuff, having guys floated out there for what? Like, leverage to get more money? Or like?
I don't think it's about more money. I think he might be playing the LeBron game. I could see why he would look at LeBron and be jealous of LeBron. LeBron has controlled his own destiny for the longest time. LeBron has shook up the sports world
and
many,
his own
many
rosters.
Times. His own roster. And that's where it comes into play. If he ends up leaving, then I think he really did want to pull a LeBron. He wanted to leave the whole sports world on hold, make them anticipate what he was going to do, and then he takes his talent somewhere else, and it's a shockwave unparalleled in the NFL world, only matched by LeBron when he left for Miami. But another thing that LeBron has perfected, and he's not doing it in L.A. because he's retiring in L.A. and he signed a 4-year deal, and he's like, I'm done with being the executive for the most part. Is he kept his team on notice year after year after year to continue to prove to him that they were all in on winning. And I could see that being the case with Brady. I could see him wanting to return to New England or knowing that he's going to. But he's making sure Kraft and Belichick understand he might leave, and the only reason he will leave is if you don't go out there and spend that money, yeah, or if you don't make
that
trade.
Which is kind of sad, because how many organizations are just willing to say, you know what, for 10 years we're going to be garbage. Or they're actually trying to be good and they make horrible decisions.
But he's only got so much time to win, right? Like, he's 42 years old. If they're not going to go out there, let's say Odell Beckham Jr. is available. Just one example, which he might be. I doubt it, but he might be. I could see Brady calling them up and being like, let's go. trade the first round pick, trade this. I want Beckham Jr. on my team. And he probably deserves, he does deserve to have that type of power. He's Tom Brady. He's won them 6 Super Bowls. He's been to 9.
Speaking of receivers, this Antonio Brown, he's headed down a road. Like, I don't know if anyone's seen that Aaron Hernandez nonsense, his documentary. It was just one thing after another that led to bad things. Antonio Brown, it's just every day now.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say about it anymore. If you haven't been following, like, my understanding is he's locked himself in his house. He's had issues with his wife or girlfriend and the kids, and he's videoing all this stuff with police, and I think there might be a warrant out for his arrest.
Yeah, for armed, like, burglary or...
Yeah, he's in a bad spot.
Yeah, it's a bad spot.
Like, it's not about football anymore and just being a goofball on Twitter and Instagram and... Right? It's a mess. Like, it's a real mess. And you can see why Pittsburgh said, we're out. You can see why Oakland, even though it took them as long as they did, they're like, we just lit on fire a 3rd and a 5th round pick, but he's got to go. And in New England, by all accounts, he was under his best behavior, but then the allegations popped up, and it was like, okay, we can't put up with this anymore. But based on what he's doing right now, you got to believe that even if those allegations didn't pop up, at some point he was going to do something in New England where Belichick was going to say, you got to go. Like, he was going to personally get himself cut. Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, will join us in about a half an hour. We will get to one of our favorite games. Would you rather? Would you rather?
Did Grappler come up with this or you?
The Grappler is heavily involved. The Grappler's got some great, great options here. So we're going to have 2 extreme options, and you've got to put your money down on one of them.
Well, he's shaking his head, so this is your game.
Well, yeah, I came up with the premise of it, but we've played this before. And the Grappler has been included. He's come up with...
So it's, if you were the Leafs, would you rather not be aggressive at the deadline?
Yeah, kind of stuff like that. Would you rather see Tiger Woods win another major
or
a Canadian win a major? Think about that. Chew on it, and we'll get to it in just a little bit. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. The wheels are in motion on a Best Portuguese Chicken drop-off tomorrow. So we're very excited about that, and it's a shame that Noodles won't be here for it, but you never really know when Noodles is going to be here. He's got like a poker room.
He had to go to St. Louis 4 days early. Why not?
Yeah. Like, is anything happening today at the All-Star game?
Listen.
I don't know.
There's a media thing where guy, like, what the hell's Noodles going to do there? Who's he there with? Pooley and somebody else?
I have no idea.
Somebody in this building, please tell me who's going to be, like, who's there. Because what they do is they're just like, hey, nice suit jacket.
Yeah, there's not a lot of hard-hitting analysis or breakdowns. I mean, we're talking about the best players in the world that are there.
Yeah. But, it's a floater program. He's just wait till get everyone just waits till it's over, and they're finding, like, the hottest parties to go to.
Well, you know, the story of the weekend will be the Tkachuk brothers. They're from St. Louis. Brady joins the party because Austin Matthews is out. You know, Keith Tkachuk is going to be heavily involved. Which would be a cool story, but the two of them are so hated around the league. Like, it's kind of a strange dichotomy where, like, that's what I would do if I was the media because I'm intrigued by the two of them. And I think the general NHL fan would be very intrigued by the two of them and their backstory and where they came from and their connection with their dad and the NHL and all that kind of stuff. But there aren't too many players league-wide more hated than Matthew Tkachuk, and I don't think Brady Tkachuk has hit that level yet. But he's got all the potential in the world to do it. Like, he can agitate and get in the muck and get in the middle of everything.
Both of them.
Yeah. And they're not going to have those talents on display at the All-Star game because that's not what you do. You know, you're not going to be a pest out there 3-on-3. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on the Florida Panthers February 3rd. And every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And tomorrow, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue. During his one Stanley Cup run, this player scored 6 goals and 6 assists over 26 postseason games. 12 points during that Cup run. That's your guess. Or that's your clue.
I've had it with the clues. He's just getting so to a point where we have no idea who the hell he's talking about.
Isn't that the point?
That's right. We're giving away big tickets, man. That's the biggest game of the year. Whenever they play Florida, that's the biggest game of the year. They got 3 of them left. They got 2 in Toronto, 1 again in Florida. They got 3 against Tampa Bay left. And it all starts Monday night in Nashville, where Jake Muzzin, we believe, will return because he's been sent down to the Marlies on a conditioning stint, which means if you're going to play in the American Hockey League on the weekend, you got to believe he'll be there Monday night.
All right, doesn't he veteran enough to say, like, just let me have some practices and a couple of bag skates? I don't need some guy from Chippewa to take my knee out.
Yeah, maybe he won't play.
Wilkes-Barre Scranton.
I guess you're right. Maybe he won't play. Maybe he'll just go down and practice. Because there's no practicing right now with the Maple Leafs. They can't.
Yeah.
That's like, I guess I would you could skate like, on your own, but.
Bus ride and a bag of chips. No thanks. Just let me do a little bag skate and I'll be ready to go.
Yeah, that'll be a big return, though. Like, he's one of he's a true X factor on the team because
absolutely
they just don't have a lot of guys like him. Like a stay-at-home, steady, predictable defenseman.
Lengthy defenseman in his own zone. It's tough to get around him. He's a pain in the ass.
Yep. Kills penalties, everything.
All of it.
Yep. Like, he really you could make a strong argument. He's a top five guy on the team that they cannot afford to miss. And Dreger was on the morning show, or I think he was on the lunch, right? Dregs was on the lunch. And he said he knows, based on his intel, Muzzin would like to return. He wants to re-sign here. And I think if he's into it, I got to believe the Maple Leafs will be too. Now, there's a limit. I don't know what that is. I wouldn't look to sign him more than 3 or 4 years. I'd be very careful because he's over the age of 30 and he's a bigger guy, like you said.
Yeah.
And there's only so much money, but...
And the wheels fall off, and you don't want those contracts where you're like, okay, I'll give you 6 years, and then after year three, it's over.
I don't think it can be.
No, God, no.
You got to, if you can stop at 4 years and get them at like $5 million, is that a deal that makes sense, I think, for both sides? I mean,
I wonder if they can predict, like, if they're all they talk about is sports science. Like, I wonder if they can predict by the way the guy skates, his flexibility, his stance when he skates, like when the wheels can fall off. Like, you know, in baseball, they have all kinds of analytics saying this guy's going to break down and it's game over.
Yep.
I don't know if that's in hockey yet. I
wouldn't be shocked. It obviously isn't going to be an exact science. It's not in baseball either. There are guys that just continue to perform and break the mold or break through the mold. But if anyone's got it, it would be this team in Toronto. You know, if there's something cutting edge analytically, the Maple Leafs would invest in it. That's not a Dubas thing, like, oh, because he's such an analytically driven guy. It's because it would probably cost you money, and Toronto's willing to pay it. So I wouldn't be surprised at all if they had that, and I'd be curious to see what it would say about Muzzin, because you would think he'd be a prime candidate for a guy that might hit a wall. Right? Like, he's got some mileage on him, bigger guy, slower guy, skates a certain style. But he's so important. He's
it's all
got
up to him if he wants
UFA.
To say, let's be reasonable here, or I'm going to try to hit a home run and try to rinse somebody.
Right. And that's up to him, I guess, too. Yeah. But they're desperate. They're going to be desperate in the summer. Like, they're going to have opportunity to make some moves. But, you know, Muzzin, I would say that Fred VanVleet is more important to the Raptors than Muzzin is to the Leafs. Maybe not that far off. But Fred's the guy we talked about in the 4 p.m. hour. He went off again last night. His ticket... I don't think he's going to get a max deal. I don't think he's worth a max deal based on, you know, the standards of that contract throughout the league. But he's a free agent. He's an unrestricted free agent. He can do whatever he wants. Kyle Lowry is gone in a year. Man, you talk about leverage. And if he keeps performing like this and puts up another big playoff run, let's say they go to the third round or go all the way to the finals and Fred is the guy who's leading the charge, you might be looking at $30 million a year or whatever, where I'll bet you at the start of the year they were thinking... I don't know, 18, 20 million a year, maybe 22, 24.
Could they have signed him at the beginning of the year?
I believe you could have signed him to an extension. Yeah, but he, you know, it's one of those scenarios where why would the player do that? In the NBA, with the salary cap going up all
the
time.
I know, but you just make it a number where you're like, damn, I can't refuse that. I can't refuse that number. There's a number out there for everybody. Where it's like, I'm not wanting to go anywhere else. I'm not going to put this team's feet to the fire.
He was in a weird spot, though, because he had such a great round against Milwaukee, an incredible round against Golden State. But prior to that, he had basically a lost season last year. He really wasn't very good. Like, VanVleet never came up.
Well, there was also, was it Philly that he could barely get on the court? He wasn't very good.
Orlando and Philly, he barely played.
Yeah.
Barely played. Like, he woke up later in that round against Philly, but we had Nurse on, I believe, in between rounds. And I think I said, I'm like, well, Fred's clearly a guy you can't play right now. And he's like, yeah, you're right. I can't play him. Like, wasn't playing him. So what kind of contract negotiation do you have after that? I'm sure the Raptors would have put something on the table, but probably would have tried to lowball him, as they should.
Yeah.
But now you're probably going to have to pay. So We'll see. Bob McKenzie in the next hour.
There's a number where it's like, okay.
Yeah, and they can give him that fifth year, too, right? They can give him 5 years of security. A new team can only give him four. That fifth year is pretty big for a guy who got to the league a little bit later. A little bit of mileage on him. He's another guy, shorter guy, beaten up a bit. I think that opportunity, it'll be there at some point. The Raptors are going to re-sign him, though. As long as he wants to come back, I think it'll work. Sounds like Muzzin's in a similar position with the Maple Leafs. Bob McKenzie at 625. He'll join us to touch on that a little bit more. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
This hour has been brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.